Blog Talk Radio.
Everybody, welcome to another fun-filled edition of Sports Urban Legend. Happy Mother's Day edition of Sports Urban Legend. Along with my co-host Macaulay Matthews, I am of course William Ramon. We're gonna, kind of a slow day. Other than it's Mother's Day. Wanna thank all the mothers who listen to the show. Wish you all a happy Mother's Day. And, so Macaulay, how you doing?
Pretty good, man. I'm just watching the Celtic-Cavalier game right now on ABC. And right now the Celtics are up by the 12. Let's see if they can hang on. In the fourth quarter with 6 minutes left.
Yeah, it looks like the series is going to get ran up 2-2. But we'll talk about that shortly. But we're going to lead off with a little baseball. Talk a little Mets. They just finished their three-game series with the Giants. Then we're going to go over to go cross town. Well, the Yankees are in Boston as they try to sweep their rival Red Sox. And then we're going to jump to talk a little hoops, NBA playoffs. And end the show off with a little sports entertainment. And, leave the line open for if anyone wants to, talk about anything they want to talk about, in this special Mother's Day edition. But we shall lead off with a little Mets baseball here. Mets today, coming into today, they were one win away from sweeping the Giants, coming off miraculous walk-off home runs from Rod Barajas, the starting catcher, on Friday. And then on Saturday, Henry Blanco, the backup catcher, hit a walk-off home run for his first career home run as a Met. And so that was the first time in Major League history that a starting and backup catcher on the same team, you know, hit walk-off home runs in the same on two straight days. And this was also the last time Mets won back-to-back home runs in 2001, when Ventura and Piazza went back to one, you know, consecutive walk-off games via the home run. But unfortunately, today's game, early game, Mets fell to the Giants as expected. Oliver Perez had a typical bad alley start. Walked seven guys, four runs. And Lincecum, you know, Lincecum was Lincecum. You know, he pitched. He gave up two runs. He went six plus, but he had 116 pitches in the game. They brought him in the seventh, but he didn't. They fooled Jerry into bringing in Blanco, the backup catcher, and then before he could even take a pitch, Lincecum can throw his 117th pitch. They took him out, and then they brought in a reliever, and then Jerry foolishly took out Henry Blanco, who just yesterday he hit a walk-off home run for his first home run as a Met, and then he brought in Frank Catalano, a 13-year veteran who, let's face it, he's a good clubhouse guy, but this guy, he's washed up, man. This guy can't hit anymore. I mean, this guy's a former Blue Jay, I think a former Brewer. This guy's been around, you know, the league for a while. This guy clearly can't hit. So because of that move, Mets had no backup catcher. And this was a wild game, man. Because of that, the guy who they brought in to relieve Lincecum, he walks the first two guys.
Mm-hmm.
Then Bruce Bochy, the manager of the Giants, the former Padre manager, he got upset and with the umpire. So then he brought in somebody else, and then Jason Bay hits a ball that should have been looked like it was a sacrifice fly at first to left field, and then the ball just drifts in to shallow field, and then it drops in, which scores the two runs for the Mets to tie the game 4-2. And then 4-4. The game was tied 4-4. And then afterwards, another ball that was hit by somebody, it blooped in for, I think, a base hit. So then Mets took the 5-4 lead. So then the bases was loaded for Barajas, but he didn't come through. So then you fast forward to the bottom of the top of the eighth. This was leading 5-4. Henry Mejia, the prospect for the Mets, the top pitching prospect for the Mets, who they compared to Mariano Rivera, he walks somebody, and then he gives up he faces Aaron Rowland, and then Aaron Rowland hits a ball that he was, you know, he thought he just missed it, but thanks to the wind, it blew that line drive right out of the ballpark for a 2-1 home run. And then in the eighth, Castillo had a leadoff base hit. And then Jerry Manuel, who doesn't move, that baffles me. I mean, Castillo is a base stealer, one of the best base stealers in the game, if not of all time. But instead of letting him steal the base, he has, let me try to remember who it was. He he sent somebody to bunt him over. And then that person got – that was the first out. And then afterwards, I think Braha – wait, let me think. Wright, they strike out Wright afterwards. And Wright was so pissed off that they ejected him out. This is like I would say this is the first time easily. This is the first time Wright got ejected out of a ball game.
He got ejected? And,
yeah, for the first time I can remember. I think this is the first time ever he's ever been ejected out of a ball game.
Wow.
Because that pitch was low. It was supposed to be ball four, but it was in the strike zone. But it looks like it was too low by the reviews and by my, you know. It looked like it was too low, but, you know, hey, the umpire called it a strike. And then afterwards, Ike Davis came up, and Ike Davis had the worst at-bat I've ever seen. The guy was throwing like, oh, yes, now I remember now. It was the closer. They brought in the closer because the guy, the reliever who gave up the runs, he led to the rally, so. He brought in Brian Wilson, the closer, to do a five-out save. And needless to say, he strikes out Wright on that, which led to Wright's ejection. And then Frank Coor, man, he was just swinging and missing. And that guy was throwing 97, so that was two out of the five-out saves. And then get to the bottom of the ninth, they had a little rally going. And needless to say, it fell short. Mets fall to the.
So Lincecum didn't get the win today.
They had no position. They had in the ninth. They ran out of position players. So if Mets had tied the game, there would have to been a pitcher to play in the field somehow. But unfortunately, Mets didn't tie. Or even better, they didn't win on a walk off. So
right.
It's fall to the Giants 6-5. Lincecum and Oliver Perez, you know, are not in the decision. Henry Mejia lost his second game of his career. He's 0-2 now. And Giants. You know, leave with the win. They lose the series 2-3, but Mets walked 11 batters and 7 of them was from Oliver Perez. It was an ugly game, but they could have won this game, but you know, they didn't, and now they have to move on to the National Series.
Well, at least you guys won 2 out of 3. I mean. It's always frustrating when you lose the last game of the series, but you guys still won 2 out of 3.
Yeah.
But not that bad, you know.
Yeah.
And
that's
are one game behind the Phillies now?
Yeah. Wait, no, it'd have to be 2 again. Wait, I think Philly is 1 today. So
oh.
it's 2 again, back to 2 game.
You guys are still in it for now.
Well, yeah. But it was a missed opportunity. Oliver Perez didn't he spit the bit like you know. Unfortunately, he's been predictable these past 2 years. He's been predictably bad. From 06 to 08, he's been I should say rather 06 to 07, he's been up and down. It's like he only does good against the good teams like Yankees, Braves,
yeah.
Phillies, and then he's horrible against the horrible teams. But since 08 on, he's been brutal against anybody.
He reminds me of another pitcher that you guys used to have. What was his name? He used to pitch for Tampa also.
Victor Zambrano.
Was it Victor Zambrano?
Yeah, I would believe so. The guy we got in the Scott Kazmir trade.
Yeah, that was him. The guy, he was good. He was horrible against the horrible team, but against the good teams, you know, he had his moments. But the guy, walked tons of people.
Yep. He's also a former Yankee, too.
Oh, yeah, yeah. We had him for a while. But
yeah, you guys
just wasn't a good pitcher.
You guys are originally drafted him, I think, in 95. And then as a shortstop, and then he converted in the Devil Rays as a pitcher.
Yeah.
And then when he got traded to the Mets, he was the winningest pitcher in Devil Rays history, which says a lot about their lack of success prior to the 2008 season.
I mean, the guy had stuff, but he just, I don't know.
Yeah, 95 mile per hour fastball, but that guy, just like Oliver Perez, and unfortunately most of these closers in the game from the steroid era until now, they've been, you know, these closers, they throw 95, you know, Benitez, Jose Mesa, Antonio Fonseca would be the poster child of the guys who throw like 95 plus. But they can, it's like they don't trust their fastball. They work.
Yeah.
They try to throw their secondary pitches, and they don't have command of it. And then when they get into hitter counts, they throw the fastball right down the middle, and blown saves. You know.
Yeah. Well, that guy Oliver Perez. I mean, he doesn't get his act together. You know, he like Vasquez. He might be traded during the. For the All-Star break.
Yeah, but he's getting paid $12 million per these next 2 years. Like is it 36? I think it was. Yeah, it was 3 years, 36. So this is the second of the third year of his contract. So I don't think anybody's gonna take the rest of the remainder of this $12 million contract plus the 12 he's gonna get next year.
I could see him. He could be a good bullpen guy, probably. Don't you think?
Yeah, but Mets would have to eat a lot of salary, and I don't see Mets eating the salary, most of the salary, to trade him. But I'm fed up with this guy. You know, when this guy pitched Game 7 of the NLCS, this guy had statistically the worst record. For anybody to start, Game 7 of NLCS, this guy was 3-13, with like a horrible ERA. I think it was at least in the six. But he kept Mets in the game. He went six innings, gave up two runs. But of course, Mets would later lose that game. Cardinals would clinch the series later that in that game, and would later on win the World Series. That Mets should have won, but that's another start for another time.
Yeah,
but
what
were you saying? I'm sorry.
Oh no, I was gonna just a quick note. Braden Dallas of the Oakland A's, he's just thrown a perfect game against the Tampa Bay Rays.
Wow, really? Wow.
Yeah, so the first perfect game of the season.
Wow. Thanks for that update, my friend.
No problem.
And Umbaldo and Jimenez earlier this year threw the first Rockies no-hitter in their history just last month.
Yeah.
So there's been two no-hitters. And, of course, like you said, Dallas Braden, A-Rod's brief nemesis this year. He has thrown a perfect game, and it doesn't get any better than that, except Don Larson's one in 56. But
yeah,
that's the only way a perfect game could get any better. But congratulations to Dallas Braden, joining a brief fraternity of people who throw perfect games.
Yeah, and, you know, this guy, he helped us out. I mean, he beat the Rays, so now the Rays are, at the moment, they would be tied with the Yankees right now for first place. So, if we win tonight, the Yankees will be in first place again. So, thank you, Braden Dallas.
And we'll go right back to him. We'll talk about him in a couple of seconds. Back to the Perez point. ever since that, when he won 15 games in in 2007, he, you know, this guy's been a joke.
Yeah.
But this guy, oh, what were you saying? I'm sorry.
No, I'm just saying that he walks a lot of people. That's his problem.
Yeah.
I mean, you said he walked 7 people today?
Yeah.
Damn.
I know. The Mets as a whole walk 11 guys.
Damn. And how many innings did he go?
He didn't even finish the 4th.
Jesus Christ. That's like almost 3 walks an inning. Jeez.
Yeah. Yeah.
Damn.
It wasn't a pretty game, man.
Wow.
It was an anti-Dallas Braden game. Oh, man. Let's just say that Vanderveer guy who threw the back-to-back, was it, no-hitters? A perfect game and a no-hitter in 2 straight games. I don't think Perez is going to challenge him.
Soon. Not anytime soon, no.
But
tell you, the Mets are gonna trade him soon. Watch.
Man, shoot, I'm fed up with this guy. I think they should send him to trade. Number one, trade this guy. I don't care where. You know, I know you guys wouldn't want to take him, but hey, I'd trade him anywhere. Now we had this discussion off air yesterday. How you know you wanted to get you wanted to trade Vasquez for Main or Pelfrey. I told you no. And even when you told me Perez, I was like, no, because I have a feeling like if he goes to you guys, he's going to win a Cy Young. I'll take this shot. I'll trade him to you guys for Vasquez.
Nah, I don't think I would take Oliver Perez for Vasquez, no.
But seriously, man.
That's going too far.
This guy should be sent down to AAA. Man, you know what? Never mind. This guy should be sent down to the Cyclones. That's the only New York team he should be pitching on. He has no business being on the Mets. Shoot, you know what? Send him over to the Yankees, the Staten Island Yankees.
Yeah, not the professional Yankees.
I'll trade him to the Staten Island Yankees, and you guys do whatever you want to do with him.
Hey, I'll take that. You're right. I mean, the guy, he's one of those pitchers that just haven't gotten it.
Yeah, man. Fortunately, there's a lot of guys like that in the game, man. That's why you can't. If this guy wasn't getting paid $12 million a year for, you know, these next 2 years, you know, this guy wouldn't be in the league.
Why did the Mets give him that contract?
Because, you know, his history shows that, Sandy Koufax would be a perfect example. Once a lefty, lefties, you know, you don't even have to be a, you could be a soft throwing lefty. You'll stay in the game. But once you get to your mid to late 20s, that's around the time when lefties, especially power lefties, they get, you know, they start to get, you know, how to pitch. That's when they become better pitchers.
Right.
Like, for example, Sandy Koufax. He was historically wild until he turned into his late, you know, his mid to late 20s, like around 26 to 28 years old.
Yeah.
And this guy's probably arguably the greatest pitcher, definitely the greatest lefty of all time.
I'll give you another one. T.C. Sabathia. I mean, when this guy was Cleveland, I mean, he was a good pitcher, but now, like, he's matured. He's, like, one of the best pitchers in the baseball right now.
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, go back 10 years ago. Did you really think of C.C. Sabathia? Not even 10 years ago. Like, let's say I'll give you, like, 6 years ago or 7 years ago.
Yeah.
I mean, he was a good pitcher, but...
Yeah, he was a good pitcher.
He
didn't take it
pitcher
to that next level. Yeah.
Yeah.
Especially towards his last 2-3 years with the Indians, and then that last year he was with the what was that, 08? Yeah, 08,
yeah.
When he was with the Brewers and Indians. That took him to that next level, you know, going 3 complete games, And then, of course, he went to the postseason. That has been his nemesis prior to last year when he, got over the hump.
Yeah, I mean, if he doesn't pitch last year with us, we probably don't win a ring.
Yeah, you're right.
Probably don't win a championship without him.
But he's definitely been the catalyst. Unlike Clemens, who I'm not a huge fan of that guy. I mean,
yeah,
you pretty much know about that.
Yeah.
But this guy, unlike Clemens, who jumped onto a team that, he just, rode the bandwagon of the Yankees. The Yankees already won two without him, and he just happened to help them win two more.
Yeah.
They didn't need Clemens, but he helped, help them win two more. But Sabathia, he came onto a team that hasn't won a championship in, at that point, nine years. So he was a huge catalyst for them winning a title.
Yeah, I mean, the guy's been great. I mean, the guy, he always goes at least seven innings. Seven innings.
Yeah, him.
The guy's a horse.
Yeah, he's a horse. He's a rare breed,
Yeah.
He's a bona fide ace, like Santana and Roy Halladay.
Yeah. And Yankees, I mean, like I said, if they win tonight, they have a chance to clinch the not only the best record in baseball, but first place in American League East. So Yankees have been they've been playing well, but some injuries, people have been calling the core four the core sore.
No, I haven't heard that, but
because guys like Posada, Pettit, and Mariano, they've had some injuries this year.
Yeah. Your boy Jeter got hit by Beckett on Friday.
Yeah, that damn Beckett, man.
These
pitchers, they have the nerve to throw pitches at players, but, man, if that was like, man, they would never do that to like a guy like Sheffield. Well, Sheffield has a guy, but Sheffield don't play.
Yep.
You hit Sheffield, Sheffield will look at you like he was about to punch you in your face.
Yeah, Gary Sheffield, man. Before I went to the Yankees and the Braves, man, that guy used to be, gangster, man. Like he was gonna fight somebody.
Yeah.
If you would mess with him.
I remember one time when Pedro threw a pitch at him, and he looked at Pedro and he said something like, "Hey, don't throw that fucking pitch at him." He didn't play, man.
Yeah, man, that guy is a tough customer. I mean, he did kind of lose his swagger when he got traded to the Braves, especially when he signed with the Yankees. I mean, that's like, he just sold out to the corporation. That's like back in the Attitude Era when Rock, went to the corporation. He sold out. But back to the point. What was the point before the Sheffield one? We were talking about the Yankees. Oh yeah, right. Jeter. Oh yeah. Now I remember what I was gonna say. Celtics officially even the series. They win the game 97-87. So this guarantees that there will definitely be a game six in Boston.
Roger Rondo played really good today.
Oh yeah, definitely did.
He had a triple double. Close to triple double maybe.
Yeah, and the highlight of that play is that behind the back alley-oop pass he made to Glenn Big Baby Davis.
Yeah.
Behind the back, LeBron James was doing his patented behind the shooter. He was behind Rondo in midair, and he was getting ready to block Rondo's shot if he was going to try to lay it up. Rondo outsmarted him and did an alley-oop in the air pass to Big Baby Davis, and he slammed it in.
Yeah, he's a good player with that Rondo.
Yeah, he's always a talented guy, but he really, since coming to the Celtics, getting drafted by the Celtics, he really lived up to his potential.
So now the series is even up 2-2, and now they're going back to Cleveland.
Yeah, they're going to Cleveland, and no matter what happens, a guarantee is that Celtics is going to host a game game six at home.
Yeah.
So it looks like, so who do you think is going to get through in this
NBA playoffs?
Yeah, in this NBA playoffs. Cavs versus Celtics.
I think the Cavs are going to, they're gonna win in six, I think.
Yeah, I think so too. If LeBron's injury really, gets worsened, I mean, I know he's had three MRIs in the past, 10 days or so. But if he could play through it like he looked like he did these past two games, Cavs should definitely breeze through them in six.
I think he'll be fine. The guy had 38 points the other night, so
yeah,
he'll play through it. I think it'll be Cavs in Orlando in the Eastern Conference Finals.
Yeah, I agree with that.
And Utah is going to lose to the Lakers because they're down right now.
That's 3-0.
Yeah.
Yeah. They'd have to be the 0-4 Red Sox to try to come back this
deficit. And I don't see that happening. And the Phoenix Suns, they look like they're going to the NBA Finals also. I mean, not the NBA Finals, the Conference Finals. Because right now, aren't they up like 2-0 against the Spurs?
I believe they are.
Yeah, I mean, they've been playing real well. So you never know. It might be a Spurs-Cavaliers NBA Finals this year.
Yeah, it could be. Small market, two small market towns going off in the NBA Finals.
Yeah.
They won't have the sex appeal of New York versus L.A., or Boston versus Philly, or one of those major teams, or a Texas team. But I guess Spurs is a Texas team, but like a major market. Major.
Is Phoenix? I thought Cleveland was a big market.
It is now because of LeBron, but it's a small market town, but it's a big team because of LeBron. LeBron made the team a championship caliber team, but Cleveland, I mean.
No, but Cleveland's like that's a big market though, Cleveland. Like the major city in Ohio, wouldn't you think?
In Ohio.
Yeah.
In Ohio, but we're talking about in America.
Yeah, I mean, so when you think of Ohio, you think of Cleveland. I don't think of anything else. I don't think of Cincinnati.
Well, yeah.
Oh. That's a small market.
Or Columbus or anything. Yeah.
Cleveland is Cleveland's a big market. Small market.
I think only in Ohio, but overall, I mean, it's not like, Miami or L.A. or New York or Boston or Philadelphia.
Yeah, yeah, of course, yeah.
But let's just say LeBron put that city on the map.
Yeah.
And if you want to go back historically, you could say Jim Brown, when he was with the Browns, he put that city on the map also. But right now, LeBron is Cleveland. But
right.
Hopefully, come July 1st, LeBron will be New York.
Hopefully.
But we have a long way to go. And it all depends on what happens in this NBA final. How the Cavs do in this playoff run. And I know we've asked this question a million times, but right now, I mean, we'll never know until at least July 1st, because he ain't going to sign on the dotted line now on July 1st. He's going to drag this thing out, his decision, for at least a month with LeBron James. He's not going to sign, on the first day of free agency. He's gonna go to all the cities. He's gonna go to probably go to LA to tease with the Lakers, which most likely he's not gonna go because he has pride. He doesn't want to be Kobe's Robin.
Hell no, he's not going to the Lakers at all. I don't see that happening at all.
Yeah, we agree on that. But he's going to tease with everybody. He's going to go to, I think he's going to go to L.A. to see, you know, go to L.A. Should even go to the Clippers to tease with the fans, making them think, hey, maybe he might go, he could build them up, you know, maybe challenge, what's his name, Kobe for, you know, winning that city. But I don't see him coming to, I'd be like him going to the Nets, you know, instead of the Knicks.
Yeah.
So I think he's basically going to target, like, Chicago, because he grew up a Bulls fan during the Jordan era. New York. Maybe Nets because of the Jay-Z. His buddy Jay-Z, who performed on Saturday Night Live yesterday. He might go to there. And maybe even Miami to, you know, team up with his buddy Dwayne Wade, but for the same scenario as Kobe, I don't see that happening. He's not going to be anybody's Robin.
And, you know, I heard that David Stern doesn't want LeBron to come to New York. Why is that?
Yep, he said that himself. There's many reasons why he said that. One, Stern supposedly grew up a Knicks fan. But the reason he could have said that is, one, maybe he really feels that way. Or two, since he's the commissioner, meaning that the owners are his employees. He's the employee of the owners, all of the owners in NBA. And, you know, since he's an employee of the owners, that he wants to maybe be politically correct to say that, you know, he wants him to stay in his market. You know, it's good for NBA and, that's why they have the Burgs rules, which means that a player can sign for more money to remain in his own team than for him to be lured to go to another team.
How the hell is that good for the NBA? If you got your best player in the NBA playing in the biggest market, how the hell that's bad for the NBA? That's supposed to be good for the NBA.
It is. I mean, I understand the idea, the logic of it, you know. Because look at Joe Mauer. If Joe Mauer went to the Yankees, that's going to weaken Minnesota Twins. But LeBron, I mean, but in the NBA, I mean, the Knicks are starving for something. They really, whether they want to admit it or not, the NBA is not the same when the Knicks are not in the postseason. They're not challenging for the championship. Look at the Jordan era. Look at the Jordan era. Look how great that era was. Knicks didn't even win not even one title. But look how revered that era was. Jordan won six. And the Jordan teams are in the same sentence with the Knicks teams because of their defensive intensity, their passion, their love for the game. People still talk about the Knicks teams of the 90s as if they won at least two championships. You know what I'm saying?
Man, freaking David Stern, man, he shut his damn mouth.
He needs to shut his mouth. I don't know if he's just saying that so he won't look like he's tampering to try to get LeBron to come to the Knicks or whatever or whatnot. But he should have just been PC and said, hey, you know, generally speaking, you know, it's good for the NBA for some players to, you know, to stay with their teams. But however, if a player of that caliber comes to the biggest market, that, you know, either way, wherever LeBron goes, he's going to help the NBA. He should have said something, you know, not incriminating any way, you know. Because it looks like, I don't know, he looks like he's anti-New York, even though he is, you know, supposedly grew up a Knicks fan. But we shall see.
Stupidest thing ever, man.
What did you say? I didn't hear you.
That's stupid. You should want him to come to New York. It's the biggest market. New York is the biggest market.
It is.
And you want your best player to be in the biggest market.
In the best arena.
It's
going
to help the NBA. It's going to draw money to the NBA,
yep.
Man. Idiot.
Yeah. Hey, man, this is what you've heard rumors that no matter what, it looks like, according to friends of Carmelo, I don't know if you can believe it or not, but it looks like insiders are saying that Carmelo definitely wants to come to the Knicks, you know, whether it's free agency or via a trade, but we shall see about that.
But he's not a free agent until next summer.
Until like 2012.
Yeah, so we're going to have to wait for that.
Yeah, so, I mean, Knicks should, you know, try to get LeBron. But, you know, if they don't get LeBron or, a superstar type player like Wade or LeBron, they should just, you know, hold on. They should just not overspend for a B-level player just so they could, you know, just so they could be like, hey, C fans, you know, we got somebody. And they definitely shouldn't overpay. As much as I love David Lee, man, they shouldn't be giving this guy like a $15 million contract per, you know, just so they could show that they signed somebody.
I do want him to come. I do want him to come back, but yeah, they shouldn't like give him something a ridiculous contract. Yeah.
Yeah. Don't give him the Allen Houston special.
Nah. I mean, Lee can't play any defense.
Yeah. He's improved. I mean, he's improved. I mean, he is a great rebounder. He definitely improved offensively. He could actually shoot a 15-footer now. He's not just a, you know, under the rim, you know, shooter, you know, or lays the ball up and dunks. You know, this guy has improved, but hopefully, if we get a center, or draft a center, you know, we could he could go back to his natural point, power forward position, and hopefully his defense will improve there.
We shall see.
Yeah, and Earl Barron, the guy we signed from the D League, he's been, you know, he did well for the Knicks in his brief period as a Knick. But who knows if you could expect a D League guy to perform like that, on a high level like that.
But you know, actually, I would still want to get Chris Paul as a point play point for our team, man.
Oh yeah,
that'd be a good trade if we could do that.
Oh, I'd love that too. But the Hornets, New Orleans Hornets, they successfully sold the team to a new owner. So I would doubt that the new owner would want to sell his franchise point guard.
You never know. Some of these new owners are dumb.
I mean, that's true, but then again, this guy, you know, he spent his money to try to get this team, and he has a franchise point guard. I don't think he'll trade him, but hopefully he will. But we shall see.
Yeah, but if he can't afford him, you know, I have to trade him.
So you make a valid point there. But so who would you be willing to give up?
There's not really much to give up on the Knicks.
The first thing that pops in my mind would be like Tony Douglas or Wilson Chandler. I don't think they'd give up Gallinari.
You can't give up Gallinari.
Yeah, especially they shouldn't give up Gallinari. That guy looks like he's the, you know, he out of those three guys, he really looks like he's the a true franchise player of the guys. Tony Douglas, he has the potential. But from Wilson Chandler to me looks like he could be like an Iguodala, you know, a B-type player. You know what I mean? Like he could be a real good player. He could be a star, but I can't see him as a superstar.
Gallinari is the future.
Yeah, Gallinari, he looks like, out of the young guys we have, he looks like he could be potentially a superstar in this league.
Yeah, the guy's like Dirk Nowitzki. He's a tall European guy who could shoot threes.
Yeah, and there's rumors that Dirk Nowitzki could opt out of his, 17 to like 20-something million-dollar contract and be a free agent. So maybe he could be paired up with him.
You know, Dirk Nowitzki is a great player, but in big spots, he doesn't come up.
Yeah, that is true.
He doesn't show up in big spots.
That is true, and he's a 7-footer, and He plays what, power forward, shooting, small forward or something?
Yeah.
Not really a defending presence either.
The guy, he's a great player, but, you know, when you need him, like, in an important game, he doesn't show up at all.
Then he disappears.
So I can't rely on a guy like that.
Yep.
So no thank you to Dirk Nowitzki.
Mm-hmm.
I'll take Gallinari instead.
Would you sign Shaq if LeBron said, hey, the only way I'll come here is if you guys sign Shaq?
Yeah, I mean, yeah.
Shaq is
past his prime.
He is washed up, but then again, he does have that winning. He does bring a swagger and experience to the team. I would sign him if it would mean bringing LeBron here.
Yeah, maybe for like 1 year.
Well, yeah, like 1 year, not 5 years. Different. That'd be ridiculous. Or 1 year deal.
Yeah, maybe for 1 year, but. I don't want to give the guy like a 5-year contract.
Yeah.
Give him ridiculous amounts of money. You know?
Yeah.
This is not 2000 Shaq, you know?
Yep. This ain't Shaq and the Super Lakers.
No.
Remember that Mad TV skit? That cartoon
yeah.
That used to make fun of, like, it's like it was like that Scooby Doo or Harlem Globetrotter. type cartoon and on Mad TV back in the days.
We shall see. I mean, it's almost free agency is almost here, so we shall see.
Yep. The draft lottery is gonna be this month. They won the 17th or 18th. But we don't have nothing to worry about because Utah is gonna have our draft anyway.
Yeah.
So, I guess we'll find out who will ultimately get draft John Wall. But that's not Nick's concern right now, anyway.
Yeah, we need to worry about free agency.
Yeah, we got to worry about. But the draft. Hey, you never know. We could draft a need. We could draft a good point guard or center or somebody like that.
Maybe.
But we're in the second round, so Donnie Walsh would have to be smart, you know. But we'll talk more about that once we get closer to the draft. But I guess we shall go over to, you know, Sports Entertainment.
Oh, by the way, are you going to comment on that Lawrence Taylor incident?
Oh, yes, thank you. I forgot about I don't know how I forgot about that, but thank you. Let's jump into that first. Yeah, thank you. That should have let off the show now that I think about it. But
the greatest sport, New York sports figures ever. But this guy, he's had trouble with the law.
Yeah. It's messed up. This guy, you know, a legend in this city, arguably the best defensive player in NFL history.
Yep.
But his accolades and his two Super Bowl championships, we're not talking about the player that he is on the field. We're talking about, you know, potentially the man, how the man is off the field. You know, like Gooden Sharber, you know, he's had the off-the-field stuff, you know, with cocaine use and, you know, other, you know, activities. But now recently, of course, we all know he allegedly raped a 16-year-old or 15-year-old prostitute.
Yeah, raped,
so,
and beat.
But yeah, there's conflicting reports saying that whether or not if he did actually hit her or if it was, you know, her pimp that did it. But in any case, you know, he shouldn't have put himself in that situation. And according to his lawyers, he's saying that he didn't know she was underage, that the guy lied to her. I mean, the girl lied to him. But in any case, as a married man, you know, put himself in a bad spot.
I mean, why couldn't he do it the professional way? like, you know, high, you know, call an escort service or something, you know? Why do you have to, was she a street hooker?
Yeah, she was a street walker.
I mean, he couldn't find a, call an escort service, man.
Well, he shouldn't have done it, period. He's a married dude.
But, I mean, if he's going to do it, do it the professional way. Don't do it the stupid way. Especially with an underage girl.
Well, he shouldn't have put himself in that situation anyway. I mean, and when he got caught, I think he was talking to the police, they were asking who he was, and it looked like he definitely said that he's Lawrence Taylor. You know, like, I according to the reports, as if, like, yeah, I'm Lawrence Taylor, you know. The way how they described it, it's like, he's like, you know, like, kind of like in a defiance, like, you know, I'm Lawrence Taylor, you know, like, what could you do? He didn't say in those words, but the way how they described how he was, you know, on the scene.
You're trying to intimidate the police just because he's Lawrence Taylor?
That's what the reports made it sound, but we still don't know all that yet. A lot of the stories haven't been, a lot of stuff that happened backstage hasn't been confirmed because they don't know who hit her, who hit the girl. Some people think it's the pimp who probably beat her so she could, you know, do the act. But it's a mental situation, man. Just when you think the guy learned from his past mistakes, you know, with all the cocaine use, you know, he does something else that's, according to people that knew him, is totally out of his character.
Idiotic. Very.
Yep.
Well, I hope, he may go to prison. You never know.
He's most likely going to go to prison. I mean, he was with an underage girl. I mean,
they haven't proved that he had sex with her yet. Or he raped her. They haven't proved anything yet.
Well, yeah, but just the situation. I mean, whether he physically, you know, raped her or it was consensual, it's still rape because she's underage.
Yeah, but, they still haven't proven that yet, though. I mean, that's what she said. That's what she's saying, but...
No, but in the law, whether he really did do that or, you know, like, he attacked her, you know, or not, it's considered that because of her age.
Yeah, I know, I'm saying, but he's innocent until proven guilty. He hasn't been proven guilty yet.
Well, yeah, of course.
So, yeah, I mean, that's a charge right now, but, you know, they haven't really proven that he raped or beat her yet.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
So, you know, right now, he's free until proven guilty.
That is true.
I mean, and who knows, he may get off on the charge because, I mean, OJ killed two people and he got away with murder, so.
Yeah, that's true. You never know.
Never know.
Like this, like the saying goes, justice is blind. So, shall see how
it happens. When you're famous.
Yep. I guess we shall move on to that. What you thought about Raw today, this week?
Man, you know, I didn't even get to see some of Raw because I slept. I think in the second half of it, so I didn't see the second half. I saw the first half. Oh, wait, no, that was Wayne Brady when Wayne Brady hosted, right?
Right, yeah.
Oh, yeah, I did see it. Yeah, I did see the second half. Right, this season. When he was attacked by, wasn't he attacked by?
Randy Orton.
Randy Orton, right, yeah, Randy Orton.
Yeah, he got RKO, and they're officially turning Randy Orton to the next Stone Cold Steve Austin, you know.
That's what I was thinking.
His RKO is very similar. It's like a jumping stunner.
Basically, yeah.
You know, they're turning him to like a tweener. It's like he does bad guy, you know, activities, but yet the fans cheer him as if he's a good guy.
Yeah, man, they be cheering. Like I told you, man, they were cheering for this guy even when he was a villain.
I know, yeah.
So I guess they figured, hey, we have to turn this guy into a good guy because people are cheering for him.
At least they were wise enough to do that because back when Cena was during his Doctor of Thugonomics word life, you know, rapper stage, that was his most popular gimmick as a villain. And then they turn him when he got popular, you know, then they turn him into the Marine gimmick, the current Marine gimmick that he has right now. And ever since then, his popularity has dropped. I mean, it's kind of 50-50, you know, people love him or 50-50 people hate him. But right now, it looks like a lot of people, he's starting to lose a lot of fans. And there was reports that that one of the writers was trying to convince Vince McMahon that they were having a open discussion to discuss what they should do in the future for the, you know, for the company. And one of them suggested that John Cena, you know, turns into a heel again. And Vince McMahon was so upset that he was yelling at the person, you know.
Oh, this is crazy.
That is crazy. But what they should do is kind of do what they did with Orton, make him a tweener, you know. They can have, like, the same characteristic of the gimmick that he had when he was more successful, but still make him, you know, be fan-friendly and kid-friendly like he is now. That way he'll have the swagger that he had back in let's say 2005,
right.
And he'll have the adult fans rooting for him, and he'll still be friendly to the kids, and he'll be popular. That's the one thing that's keeping him from getting to the level that very few, you know, wrestlers in WWE history has had.
Man, I think John Cena for now is going to be a good guy forever.
Yeah, because the reason why Vince McMahon's doing this is because his John Cena's merchandise is the most
popular.
Most popular and most has the highest selling. His merchandise is the highest selling. You know, his jerseys, his hat, stuff like that are the number one top rated merchandise in all of WWE.
Yeah, he's like the LeBron of WWE.
Exactly. So if they business-wise, if they turn him to a villain, most kids are not going to buy his stuff.
I don't know about that, because, I mean, if they're a Cena fan, they're going to stay with him.
Exactly. But they think the children, you know, are going to turn.
Maybe, but...
Well, yeah, that's true. I mean, it is that possibility. But there are some kids that's still going to root for him. You know.
Yeah.
And if his character is, you know, popular with adults, kids, you know, believe it or not, you know, are influenced by, you know, their older siblings and their parents. If they turn his gimmick back to, you know, a bad guy, they'll be like, yo, John Cena is cool. The little kid's gonna be like, wow, yeah, John Cena is cool. You know, and that would help WWE out in the future because parents, you know, adults are the one that pays pay-per-view events to go to the pay-per-view event and watch it on TV. So they should listen to the fans like they did with Orton. That's how
you'll get tired of John Cena.
What's that?
People getting tired of John Cena. They need to just, turn him into a villain.
Exactly, because people are booing him. It's like it's not even a joke, man.
Yeah.
Everyone, you have to edit out the stuff, the booze. That's how bad it is. But I guess we'll talk more about that as WWE forced this John Cena down everybody's throat. That he's supposed to be the most loved character in WWE history. We'll talk more about that next time. Thank you, Max, for coming on the show.
No problem.
And I want to thank you, ladies and gentlemen, for listening to, you know, this episode. And I want to wish everybody a happy Mother's Day. And spend time with your mom. That, you know, so long, everybody. Have a great weekend.